Okay, so I have the pleasure to present our work on reconciling the medium-scale upper mantle seismic velocity and mass structure below ocean basins. So our aim in this work is to bring and analyze observations in order to characterize the mantle convective flows at high spatial resolution and decipher between different patterns that have been proposed to develop at these regional scales, such as thin plumes on the left, or regular patterns of convection in a fluid heated from below on the right. Oops. We will focus in particular on a series of unexplained geophysical observations which have been made at these medium scales. So on the right, you can see a map of shear velocity anomalies in the upper mantle. And they feature elongated fingers of slow seismic velocity anomalies aligned with the absolute plate motion orientation, ubiquitous below ocean basins, with a nearly 2,000 kilometer spacing. And these features have been found to coincide with a similarly oriented directional fabric in the Earth's geoid, with here a map of the dominant direction when they have been found, and with a commensurate spatial scale. And today, the dynamic origin of these features is not well understood. So our aim in this work is to identify and reconstruct in space domain elongated medium-scale gravity and also seafloor topography anomalies over ocean basins for joint interpretation with seismic tomography, with the hope to bring constraints on the regional patterns of mantle dynamics. So first, to identify such signals in the gravity field and in the seafloor topography, we apply a dedicated method of analysis which allows us to separate superimposed signals at different spatial scales and with different shapes or orientation. For gravity, first, we extract the geoid components at different spatial scales using spherical wavelet filters in the 400 to 4,000 kilometer scale range. And then, at each scale, we describe the geometry of the signals by computing gravity gradients in well-oriented frames. You can see an example here when we have a mass excess source, and it generates a smooth geoid bump above the source, and also deflections of the gravity vector towards the source. And so if I take the x direction perpendicular to the source main axis, you have the variation of the x component of the gravity vector in blue, and the rate of variation of gx, which is gxx, the second order horizontal gradient in the x direction, which delineates the source much more sharply than the geoid, as also shown here, in space domain. And we will apply the same type of analysis to the seafloor topography as a 2D field on the sphere. And then it's useful to rotate the spherical frame around the radial axis in order to search for elongated features in the gravity and the topography along any orientation. Because as you see, here we have a source indicated by the rectangle, always the same. And here on each plot, we show the horizontal gravity gradient, theta theta gravity gradient, in this frame, which is progressively rotated. And so when the frame vectors are parallel and perpendicular to the source, we have a maximum of intensity in the gravity gradient, which progressively decay as the frame orientation is different from the source. So we will apply this analysis, in particular, investigating orientations close to the absolute plate motion direction. So we apply this analysis to two data sets, a global geoid model from satellite gravity data from the GRACE and GOCHE mission, and Smith and Sandwell bathymetric grid, which has been corrected from sediment loading at isostatic equilibrium. And at each location in space, we compute the second order gradients of the gravity potential and those of the seafloor topography. And we determine for what scale and orientation we have a maximum of intensity in these gradients. And then if we take a whole area, for example, here we consider the area in the black box, for all the points within this area, we count for each scale and each orientation how many such maxima we have obtained. And this way, we obtain a scale orientation diagram which summarizes the spatial structure of the field in the investigated area. So here you can see the case of this area in the Central Pacific. And so both the GRACE gravity gradient and the second-order horizontal gradients of the seafloor topography, which we called seafloor slope gradient, show a concentration of signals at medium spatial scales between 800 and 1,200 kilometers, in addition to the smaller scale signals. And so if we look at the orientation, the absolute plate motion direction in the Pacific plate is indicated by the black bar. And at these medium scales, we find signals close to the orientation of the fracture zones, close to the former APM direction at the end of the Cretaceous, which correspond to alignments like the Line Islands, for instance, and also directional structure close to the APM absolute plate motion orientation here in gravity and in topography. So we will reconstruct these signals in space by plotting the GRACE horizontal gravity gradients and the seafloor slope gradients. So again, they are the second-order horizontal gradients of the seafloor topography for the corresponding spatial scale, here 1,100 kilometers, and for corresponding rotations of the spherical frame. And we observe, indeed, a coherent elongated structure, coherent over wide parts of the Pacific plate, here even crossing the East Pacific rise in gravity, and here as well, here, 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 and also in topography, here, 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 or here, with a larger amplitude on the older side of the plate as compared to the younger side. And you can see here the characteristic scale from a histogram of the characteristic scale that have been found in profiles across the undulations. And again, there is a peak near 1,000 kilometer scale, where the scale corresponds to the half wavelength in case of a periodic process, so nearly 2,000 kilometer wavelengths. We can have a look at a slightly smaller spatial scale here, the 800 kilometer scale, where again we have these elongated features all across the Pacific plate. These signals can be also found in other ocean basins. We have studied the case of the northern Indian Ocean basin, fast-moving plates, and also a slow-moving plate, the Antarctic plate. And here you can see, in the northern Indian Ocean, that we have again these undulated patterns with, again, a characteristic scale close to 1,000 kilometers in profiles across the undulations, in both gravity and topography, here with the fingerprint of the 90 East Ridge in the topography. And for the slow-moving Antarctic plate, similar observation here with the undulation indicated by dashed black lines. And this one in particular is very clear in gravity, and it is not related to continent or ocean boundaries, with again the same scaling. So to read this map, let me quickly recall the signals of simple sources. So when we have a mass excess source, we have a minimum in the horizontal gravity gradient. When we have a seafloor low, we have a maximum in the seafloor slope gradient. If we sum the two with an equilibrated system of opposite masses, the topographic contribution predominates. Here is the black curve. And if we remove this topographic contribution, we have the so-called Bugge gravity gradients corresponding in this example to this part of the system. So here in our maps, when we have the positive seafloor slope gradient, it corresponds to a seafloor low. And now if we compare these maps of geodetic signals with a seismic tomographic map at mid-upper mantle depth, where the dashed black line indicates the location of the slow seismic velocity anomalies on all maps, we have a coincidence in many areas of the slow of the bathymetric low, the seafloor low, with the slow seismic velocities here, here, here as well, here, here, and here. And they predominate in the total gravity signal. And if we remove the topographic contribution from the total gravity signal, we have the Bugge gravity gradient, which feature internal mass excess below the seafloor depression and aligned with the slow seismic velocities, as you can see also in these maps. Here we have drawn a profile across the undulation, and the tomographic model is taken along this profile. And here you can see profiles showing the shear velocity anomalies at 250 kilometer depth, the Grace gravity gradients in dark blue, the Bugge gravity gradients in light blue, and the seafloor slope gradient in pink, where we have switched the sign of the seismic velocities and the Bugge gradient in order to emphasize the correlation between all four observables with the correlated slow seismic velocities, bathymetric depression, and internal mass excess, as we can also see in superimposition maps in these three different areas where the geodetic anomalies they tend to align with the slow seismic fingers. And we do the same observation in the Northern Indian Ocean, again, with here a profile across the undulation. And for the Antarctic plate, we can only compare the Grace gravity and the seafloor slope gradient. It's difficult to compute the Bugge gradient due to the continent-ocean boundaries, with again a similar correspondence between the slow seismic velocity and the bathymetric low. So to understand what could be the source of this observation, we have investigated the potential source within the crust, where the Moho undulation could be a major contributor. So we have compared the observed Grace gravity gradient with those predicted by an isostatic crust model, where the Moho undulation is computed in order to have an isostatic equilibrium of the topography with or without a lithosphere, a cooling lithosphere model. We have tried the two of them. And we obtain very different spatial patterns and different amplitude as compared to what we observe, which is also verified when we plot the scale orientation diagrams for these crustal models. And there is no structure aligned with the APM orientation. We can have structure closer to the fracture zone orientation here in this isostatic model. We have tried also seismological Moho model, and we reached the same conclusion that they do not correspond to the geometry of our observation and also the amplitude. So we have then considered a deeper mantle source, which is also supported by the correlation between the geodesy and seismic velocity signals. And in the context of a thermal interpretation of the seismic velocity anomalies. So here, we can put constraint on the spatial structure of such a mantle source using our observations. We use seismic tomography in order to constrain the depth range of the source down to about 1,000 kilometer depth, as we can see in this cross-section. And we use the gravity data in order to constrain the lateral characteristics of the source from the periodicity and the scale of the gravity signal, we have a constraint on the periodicity of the source. And so if we take a 2,000 kilometer period and every 2,000 kilometer we put a mass anomaly of width W, we also have a constraint of this width on this width at upper mantle depths. It should be close to the half wavelength, 1,000 kilometer. So we have searched for a physical process that could satisfy this geometrical constraint, and they appear reminiscent to b-dimensional Rayleigh-Benard convection, where we would have a one-to-one aspect ratio of the convective cells extending down to an extended transition zone down to 1,000 kilometer depths. Such a process would be able to explain the geometry of the observations. And so we have investigated this process in the context of a purely thermal convection. But the problem is we are not able to fit our observations. In the case of a thermal convection, we should have light and hot upwellings where we have the slow seismic velocity. And then we expect a topographic high on top of this upwelling instead of the low that we observe. So we cannot fit the seafloor topography and also not the Bouguer gravity because the hot upwellings correspond to a mass default. The only mass excess in this model comes from the thermal deflection of the 660 kilometer depth interface, but they do not compensate the light upwelling contribution. So we have tried to enhance the 660 kilometer depth interface deflection attributed to ringwoodite phase transition. We are never able to generate a topographic high above this upwelling, even with large enhancements. In order to observe a topographic low, we are never able to generate a topographic low. And in order to generate a topographic low, we should put the mass excess closer to the surface. 660 kilometers is too deep. So we have considered the possibility that a shallow decompression melting occurs on top of the roll that would lead to an underplating of the lithosphere with a dense basaltic layer and a depleted residuum that would be left behind. And we cannot fit jointly the gravity and the Bouguer gravity and the topography data with such model. And if we try to fit only the Bouguer gravity, the underplated mass is far too large. 1,000 kilometer thick layer with 400 cubic kilogram per cubic meter for a thermal anomaly within the rolls of plus minus 100 Kelvin. So this is why we consider the possibility that the detected mass excess would lie within the hot upwelling. And as a tentative explanation, we consider the effect of phase transition in the presence of a moderate amount of water on this convective system. Because in this case, it has been shown that partial melting can occur at the phase transition between Watts-Layard and olivine, and that dense melts can be formed, hydrous melts, but dense because enriched in iron. So we consider the possibility that they could contribute to the detected mass excess, either the melt or crystallized olivine as compared to the background. So to investigate this hypothesis, we have computed the amount of mass excess that we should put in the upwelling area. So we have discretized we apply a radial discretization in three layers. Layer one between 60 and 160 kilometers corresponding to the low seismic velocity zone. Layer two in the upper mantle. And a thin 30 kilometer thick layer three just above the 410 discontinuity. Which is inspired by the presence of very low seismic velocities reported about these discontinuities, where a melt layer has been proposed. And so we carry out dynamical modeling where we compute the predicted Bugge gravity gradient and dynamic topography from this source structure with the thermal anomalies associated to the convection cell and the additional mass anomalies here in the upwellings. An important point to constrain our solution is that we apply a hypothesis of deep isostasy near 1,000 at the base of this system of sources. So what does it mean? Our problem is to avoid getting too large density anomalies that would be unstable and would sink. So this whole system of sources has to be in equilibrium. Either it is supported from the underlying lower mantle flow and or it is decoupled from the underlying mantle flow. And because there is a decorrelation of the seismic structure above and below 1,000 kilometer depths, we preferred the hypothesis where this upper mantle circulation would be largely decoupled from the deeper one. So with this constraint, we vary systematically the temperature anomaly in the convection cells and the density anomalies in our three layers. And we compute the predicted Bugge gravity gradient and seafloor gravity gradient, seafloor slope gradient, and we assess the quality of the model from the cumulative misfit to these observations and also to the vertical equilibrium. And we have considered different viscosity profiles with or without a low viscosity zone below the lithosphere. And we find very different types of solution depending on the presence of a low viscosity zone below the lithosphere. When there is such a low viscosity zone, we have solution when the density in the layer one is really strongly constrained towards here about 10 kilograms per cubic meter. And the densities in the underlying layer, here you have the density in the layer one vertically as a function of density in the layer two horizontally for density in layer three, which is fixed, and each color corresponds to a temperature in the walls. So we have stable configuration with less dense upper layer one, less dense as compared to the layer two. And when we do not have such a low viscosity zone below the lithosphere, we have larger density variations where the layer one is denser than the underlying upper mantle, which appears unstable to us. That's why we prefer the solution with a low viscosity channel. In any case, in all our computation, we always found mass excess across all the three layers, which confirms that the mass excess should be in the area where we have the slow seismic velocities. And to have melt fraction that would remain low, we must consider that it would be mostly crystallized olivine, a little bit enriched in iron, that would explain the mass excess. So, as a conclusion, I will summarize our results. We have identified a regular pattern of medium scale undulation in gravity and seafloor topography, where the seafloor lows and the mantle mass excess coincide with the slow seismic fingers in the upper mantle. The geometry of the observation can be explained by a deep Rayleigh-Benard type convection down to the base of an extended transition zone. We hypothesize that the flow may not be entirely driven by plate motion as for Richter rolls, because signals are observed beneath both fast and slow moving plates. And below the slow moving Antarctic plate, it would take a very long time to align longitudinal rolls. And the mass excess and seafloor lows likely reflect dense sources in hot upwelling areas across the upper mantle. Thank you.